always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, it's vacation, so I don't know really what day it is. I think it's Tuesday. Tuesday evening, afternoon here on the West Coast. I am recording from my little brother's bedroom. Because my son is taking a nap in my old room next door. I'm at my parents' house. I am streaming from my parents' house. It's like I'm a blogger in 2016. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about so long as the Wi-Fi holds up, which I'm already noticing it's not the way that I want it to be. But today on the show, we're going to be talking about, guess what? Jonathan Kuminga. And, we did get a little bit of new-ish news. That being that apparently Klay Thompson might be bought out and that he apparently might have some interest in being a Laker after spurning the Lakers in free agency a couple seasons ago. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll answer some questions, and then I will dip and head back out onto my vacation. As far as the plan for the rest of the week, I am traveling tomorrow. And it's a long travel day because of the time change and all of that stuff. So I don't think we'll have a show tomorrow. But the hope is that we will be, or that I'll be able to go live, or that, not the hope, I will be able to go live Thursday. And then I'll do a bonus show for you guys on Friday. And then we will continue with your regularly scheduled content starting that following Monday. So that's that. A quick reminder before we get to the rest of the show, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show via podcast in the morning, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. And, today's show is brought to you, as it always is, here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA, and you will get $150 worth of Prize Picks credit whenever you sign up. Use the promo code and win your first $5 lineup. All right. As JP248 is writing, go Lakers. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you haven't already. I appreciate that. What's up, Anthony? Mockman says, did you bump into Pelinka this week? I tried, guys. I went to Disneyland. I went to his home turf. I went to see what he was doing and what the chances might be that I could kind of get the ball rolling again to try to get this Kuminga thing sorted out, and now apparently a Klay Thompson thing sorted out. But no deal. He apparently is a select Disneyland card holder, and he has access to parts of the park that I do not, and he was hiding. Now, I don't know what he was doing yesterday, but I was there at Disneyland. I tried. I really wanted to get that thing done or do whatever I could to get that thing done, and it just didn't play out the way that I wanted it to. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the latest on Jonathan Kuminga as we enter day 533. So the latest on Kuminga is that there is no latest on Kuminga. It's the same bullshit. So we got, as far as updates or changes in the story or potential new suitors, it was funny on Discord around the time that LeBron signed with or was getting ready to sign with Philadelphia. And then after Mario Hezonja signed with Cleveland, I told people in the Lounge Discord, get ready for a new series of teams that Aaron Turner is going to try to convince everybody that Kuminga has as options. And lo and behold, I think since then we've heard that the Clippers might be interested. We've heard that the Minnesota Timberwolves be interested. Chris Fedor, who covered the Cavs for, I think, The Athletic, said that it seems unlikely that the Cavs would continue to be interested in Kuminga. That was the kind of the thing that I, the reason that I told people, oh, get ready for a new bevy of teams. And yeah, it was it's played out exactly like that, right? We've heard that Minnesota might be interested. They have their taxpayer mid-level exception that they could use. Problem there is that they are up against the second apron or whatever apron that they are hard capped at, and cannot use that exception as things currently stand. We have the Clippers who might be interested, but they're also kind of focused on the Peyton Watson thing. Peyton Watson might be another source worth another segment here, because there's some interesting stuff about that dating back to the back to summer league. So maybe we'll talk about Peyton Watson here in a bit too. But yeah, the teams that are linked to him, like the cycle is really familiar, right? I've dealt with this plenty with agents, where they'll find a reporter who is willing to say, exactly what he is telling them without putting any extra thought into it, without pushing back on the things that would need to happen in order for that team to actually be interested or have actionable interest. Then you'll look at the facts and you'll look at the situation and you realize, wait, that doesn't make much sense, whether it's because of playing time, whether it's because cap situations, because of apron situations, whatever. And what it all kind of boils down to is that, like, Kuminga has two options still. He can go back to Atlanta for, some type of slightly better than the minimum type deal. He could sign with Milwaukee for a, $6 to $10-ish million number. He could sign with the Lakers on the the Lakers and the Hawks could come to terms on some kind of sign and trade that would get Kuminga paid a little bit better. But this whole notion of, like, well, Kuminga's willing to wait till September, when at that point a $20 million offer is going to open up. It's like, okay, you could try, you could see how it goes, but I don't see that playing out that way. So, I still think things stand where they are. I've started to notice Lakers fans starting to get really kind of frustrated and starting to really do the whole, you know what, I'm sick of this, just cut ties, Lakers, just get out of this Kuminga business, see what the alternatives are. Problem with that is that there aren't any better alternatives. And what's the point? Like, all you do if you're the Lakers and you cut ties now before any decision has to be made, all you do then is basically give Kuminga to some other team at some number that is lower than Kuminga wants to be paid at. So where I do think there's a fair point to be made here is the concern that, by lowballing Kuminga to the extent that the entire league has, whoever gets him is going to be getting a frustrated Kuminga, maybe not as bought in version of Jonathan Kuminga. I feel like I should have a better background. Like, this background behind me just screams, sad college student background. Let's see, what backgrounds do I have? Visual effects. Let's go there. Let's see if we have any better backgrounds. Layouts. Is that it? Nope, not it. That's not it. Visual effects. No, I guess not. All right. Well, we're just raw dogging it with my little brother's sad bedroom look. But all right. So, as far as the situation and any changes or any updates or anything like that, there aren't any really right now. It's just a waiting game, and the Lakers have every reason to continue waiting. They aren't out on Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga, I guess, can continue waiting. and potentially piss off his suitors. I do get the concern that maybe he'll be frustrated and won't be fully bought into wherever he goes, and that he will kind of stat hunt, you know, for the sake of getting his next contract. The hope is he signs, fires Aaron Turner, and the Lakers would then, or whoever gets him, would then land an agent who better understands what is getting players paid in 2026, 2027. But I, you know, as that seems unlikely, we just kind of sit here and wait, and hopefully someday Jonathan Kuminga gets better. The Swiffer duster crazy. Yeah, there's nothing I could really do. Drip Show Shop, like, I just, my little brother is looks like a little brother's room, really. Some old trophies there in the background. Can you guys see those? See if I move over here, you guys can maybe see the trophies. See that? I think some of those might be mine. Maybe? I don't know. But anyway, that's the situation I find myself in. Jonathan Kuminga is probably in a nicer room than I am right now. But as far as employment situations, I feel like a lot of us have the upper hand right now. Christian Clark, who covers the Dallas Mavericks for The Athletic, provided an interesting tidbit the other day that linked Klay Thompson potentially to the Lakers. It sounds like Klay Thompson and his people are kind of nudging the Mavericks in the direction of a buyout. They would like to re-enter the free agent market, find himself a situation that he is more closely aligned with. And it makes sense, right? The Dallas Mavericks are obviously on the Cooper Flagg timeline, and Klay Thompson only has so many more years where he can compete for championships, and I think he would much rather, you know, go to a team like the Lakers, or I saw that the Heat were another team that might be interested in Klay Thompson, and that, you know, he could go to one of those other situations and go to a team that is maybe a little closer to championship contention right now than the Mavericks are going to be this season. Makes a lot of sense from that. It also makes sense as we sit here on August 4th that Masai Ujiri is going to say, well, you know, maybe eventually we'll get there. Maybe eventually we'll arrive at a buyout for you, Klay Thompson. But for the time being, maybe we'll work the phones and see what kind of trade opportunities that exist out there. And apparently the Heat and the Mavericks talked about some kind of Klay Thompson, Nikola Jovic type swap. Issue there for the Mavericks is that, like, Jovic's contract isn't really great, and Jovic is a fine-ish player. He's a very Miami Heat type player. Those Miami Heat type players, like, when they get away from Miami, i.e. Kendrick Nunn, i.e. Gabe Vincent, i.e. any number of other players, when they get away from that kind of Miami environment, they are no longer as productive, I guess is the word I could use. So a lot of teams have shown reluctance to trade for the Jovic's of the world. And in this case for Dallas, you know, you have a player in Klay Thompson who's still, like, relatively useful, obviously pretty far removed from his peak, but he's still fine. He can still shoot the shit out of the ball, that's for sure. And they have Klay Thompson, I believe, on an expiring contract. And so from them, they're saying, well, yeah, you might want to go to Miami, but Miami, if you want Klay Thompson, is going to take more for us to take on Jovic's contract. And Miami doesn't have much more to offer. So Miami is waiting for a buyout. I could see why the Lakers are also interested in a buyout. They could use the additional shooting. I do have some real concerns about Klay Thompson defensively. That's been the precipitous drop-off there for him. And it's why he fell from the starting lineup in Dallas. What's interesting with Clay specifically, obviously you have the familial ties back to the Lakers, where his dad, Michael, played for the Lakers and is their radio color commentator, and at least for the time being. And they have those family ties back to the Lakers. Klay Thompson, apparently, according to Clark, owns a home in LA. That kind of tracks. That makes some sense, right? Go there, and you don't want to stay at mom and dad's if you're a multi-zillionaire pro. And then the other thing too is the Lakers were among the finalists for Klay Thompson a couple of years ago when he was a free agent. And the main reason he went to Dallas instead of the Lakers was because Dallas was offering a starting gig, a gig that he no longer holds, and I think a gig that he no longer expects. So I think from an expectation standpoint, the Lakers and Klay Thompson are a little bit closer now than they were a couple of years ago. He did go to Dallas in part to play with Luka. I've always been told it was much more a matter of Dallas being willing to start him, at least initially, and the Lakers not being willing to offer up that kind of playing time guarantee. But he did enjoy playing with Luka. I could see him continuing to enjoy playing with Luka. I don't know where the minutes necessarily come from for Klay Thompson, because you have Austin Reeves, you have Quentin Grimes, you even have Cam Carr at Thompson's position. So unless Thompson considers himself more of a 3/4 than a 2/3, or is just kind of straight up a 3, you know, then you're kind of talking about Luka's minutes potentially. So, as far as fit goes, could be better, could be worse. As far as value goes, like, you add a player of Thompson's ilk and his ability to shoot the ball, on the minimum, there are worse outcomes of the offseason. If they do hold that kind of interest in Thompson, though, the Lakers would have to clear, at that point, 2 roster spots, because they, you know, similar situation as they have with Jonathan Kuminga, where they are already at 16 guaranteed contracts, you know, on their books right now. Then you move up to 17. Then you have the Kuminga situation, which moves you as high as 18. You have the potential interest in a kind of buy low big, you know, project big. That makes this, you know, kind of tricky there. Now you're at 19, you know, contracts, guaranteed contracts that the Lakers are at. That's a lot of work to get back down to 15. So if they do have this kind of interest in Klay Thompson, I would imagine this would happen after the Kuminga thing is sorted out. And the Lakers have a better idea of how many guaranteed contracts they have after Kuminga is either signed or not signed. I would imagine if Kuminga doesn't come, then I think Klay Thompson becomes a little bit more realistic. And then I've always thought that this, like, extra big that they've talked about felt like more of a two-way contract type signing. But if you open up another roster spot and maybe Nick Richards is available, then maybe that's the direction that you go in there. But the Klay Thompson thing is interesting. We'll see how it plays out. I find myself fairly apathetic. I see the benefits of it. I have some questions about the fit across this roster, and what Klay Thompson's own expectations might be. I think Miami makes a lot more sense for him because of how desperate for shooters that they are. But if he wants to be in LA and Miami is on the full other side of the country, then I could see why, you know, he would continue to see what the deal is with the Lakers. But first and foremost, you need him to be bought out. And that apparently is something, according to my buddy Jake Fisher, he is reporting that Dallas is kind of reluctant to buy out Klay Thompson, and that they're thinking there is that, you know, well, if Miami or LA are desperate enough to get this guy, then maybe we can squeeze them for an asset rather than just losing a relatively useful player for nothing. And honestly, like, you know, I saw Mark Stein obviously Jake Fisher's colleague there on the Stein line. Mark was kind of talking about how he was wondering why the free agent market has kind of stalled out the way that it has. And honestly, like when you look at what's going on here with Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks, this I think is kind of an encapsulation of why things have stalled out, where so many teams, you know, you get to August and it used to be you would just get players off your books or off your roster and you give them enough time to go out and find themselves a better situation. Well, now you have a whole lot of front office executives who are saying, like, what's the rush? And so, you know, you'll have players who would typically be bought out remaining on teams' books just to see if that team can maybe get something in, you know, in trading that player away. And what that leads to is not only are teams kind of waiting for current free agents, the Jonathan Kumingas of the world, to sign with another team, but you also have teams kind of looking at other rosters and other teams' books being like, that guy might get bought out, that guy fits here, why would we go and use the roster spot or guaranteed roster on a player who maybe doesn't fit as well as a player who might become available before the start of next season? And now you have an entire market that is just kind of everybody staring at each other wondering, like, what's the deal here? And it used to be you would get to, like, the last week of July and everybody would say, well, we all want to go on our vacations. Let's get as much or all of the work that we need to get done before the end of July. But now everybody's like, well, we can go on our vacations and just have a little bit of work waiting for us when we get back. And or we could just take our phones with us and we can have some of the conversations that we have with each other, like on the beach, I guess. And it's led to a market that is moved a lot more slowly than it has in years past. And to that I say, get your work done before you go on vacation, he says while he records a podcast episode from vacation.
Bye, everyone.